Sweet Sweet Garbage is a podcast in which two women, Jenna Redding and Bailey Von Schneider, take a look back at some of their favorite garbage films and television. Knowing them as we do, we have to ask the question, why do they find themselves enamored with this trash? Not only that, why do we ourselves root for the problematic woman? We love a good crazy stalker, male or female. Why is Bailey okay with the idea of Penn Badgley stalking her? Why does Jenna want to single white female every person she meets? Can they be feminists and still enjoy these indulgences? Let's find out.
All right, welcome back to this week's episode of Sweet Sweet Garbage. Let me tell you guys, we've got a doozy for you. We are going to be doing 2017's Britney Ever After, and we actually have actress Whitney Moore on with us this week to talk to us about it.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk about this absolute shit show with y'all.
Oh, man. Yeah. And yeah, shit show, again, that's almost a kind word for it. Bailey, do you want to go into a little synopsis of it?
Sure. So what IMDb likes you to believe that it is a chronicle of the life and career of singer Britney Spears, from her humble beginnings on the Mickey Mouse Club to her mega stardom, then her heavily publicized fall from grace and a monumental comeback. And I just feel like that makes this movie seem like it would be semi-decent. But in fact, it is not.
I experienced a wave of emotions. I don't know about you guys watching this. This is my second watch of this movie. So I would also like to say I watched this movie before the Free Britney movement. So the context watching this today is very, very different, and I'm excited to talk about that with y'all.
Yeah, no, this was my first time going into it, and I think I heard like whispers of it, but usually I'm like, I know my lifetime, and I'm upset with myself as like I'm like a fan of Britney. I'm not like a mega fan, but I'm like the person that's like always wanted to see her. And like, even though I lived so close to Vegas, I never got to see her. So it's like always upset me. So like the idea of like a lifetime biopic of it, I was like, oh, this could be interesting. And interesting is, it was not. Like, I don't.
Well, keywords being unlicensed biopic. None of this has Britney's permission. We'll find there isn't a single original Britney song, although they do somehow get away with some of the covers that she does. And I think that makes a real big difference if you have the original artist signed on and give their stamp of approval. The quality seems to be quite a bit better.
Yeah, I just felt like, yeah, I remember because like I did a little bit of research in Britney, like they had asked her and she's like, I have like absolutely no involvement. This does not have my approval at all. And I mean, I feel like there's no way that you could even remotely be like, oh, yeah, Britney would approve of this, because they make this Britney seem like maybe the stupidest person on the world.
Honestly. And
she has no agency. She has nothing. It's really frustrating to watch it because, you know, you want to like her, you want to root for her, and she's really just a character that things happen to. You know, she's just kind of like going through this.
I have true sympathy for any actor who has been in a bad movie, having come from one of the worst. I was in a movie called Birdemic that came out in 2010. It is truly one of the worst movies ever made. And I understand and truly empathize with actors who are bad in something or just were in something that maybe they were really excited about and didn't turn out great. And I'd like to shout out Natasha Bassett, the actress who plays Britney. She has all of the cards stacked against her, really, because Britney Spears is an iconic person who also has a lot of really weird mannerisms. She has like a really goofy, dumb laugh. She makes a lot of faces. She does all of this quirky shit that is only charming because she's Britney Spears. And so Natasha, poor girl, like, she's never gonna be as charming as Britney. It's like she was born to lose. By the way, I did search her because I don't think that she is a bad actress. I wouldn't ever call somebody a bad actor. I think that her Britney impression is not great. But I also saw that she was in a movie this year, a horror movie called The Pale Door, I believe. And it has 4.7 out of 10 stars on IMDb. I am going to check it out this weekend, because I want to see, you know, I think that she's got potential. I think that it's cool to watch people grow in their careers. And I just also want to preface before we rip this movie to shreds, that we love you, Natasha. You did your best.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, yeah, I really do think, yeah, I think the problem with this movie, it wasn't even the actors, because I do think the actors did the best that they could. It really had to, it came down to the writing, it came down to the direction, and especially the way they sort of made this, like the concept of this movie, or like the conceit of it, basically. Because there's like sometimes where she's like talking to the camera, and like it seems like it's supposed to be for a documentary, but like that doesn't seem to like pan out for anything, and so. That's always such an annoying thing when you just have these, you have these characters that are talking into the camera and you assume it's like for an interview or you assume it's for something, but really it's just them talking into the camera and that's just lazy filmmaking, you know?
Yeah, it's very weirdly structured. And you know what? One thing that is absolutely the actor's fault, Natasha, I'm looking at you. She drops her Southern accent from scene to scene. Truly, sometimes it is there, sometimes it is not. It is all over the place. I think that there are some more emotional scenes where she forgets that she's supposed to be Southern. And that, to me, is just like one of the hallmarks of a great bad movie is if there is bad accent work in it. And her singing style is also so unique. I gotta tell you guys, I am a big fan of the game Just Dance. It's the one thing that's been keeping me moving in quarantine. And I can't do the Britney ones because anytime somebody tries to replicate her singing style, it sounds like such a bad parody. Nobody can pull it off. And I feel like it's just, honestly, after I watched this movie, I loved Britney even more because I was like, no one can even come close to her except for Chloe Fineman. She's the only person. Do you guys know who that is? She's on SNL, but she got very popular. She does a great modern Britney of Britney in her castle on her compound these days, trying on outfits and talking about her burning down her gym.
Yeah, Britney on Instagram has been very interesting. I was like, okay.
She's been social distancing this whole time.
She's like, you guys are so behind. It's just me and my really hot boyfriend, and we're just going to jet set because I can. I was like, all right, Brittany, I wish I had your life right now, girl.
She knew all about social distancing before we were ever even going to, like, get on board.
I'd like to think that she's living her best life, but now that everything is out in the open, we know that there is some shit going down. And Britt, I know you're listening to this. We wish you well, babe. We hope that your conservatorship ends soon.
Yeah, like it's been, that was the thing of this movie is they tried to get every messy aspect, which, I mean, I get it's a Lifetime movie. You're trying to sort of heighten every messy thing that she's like ever been through. And I just was like, oh my God, it's making, it made me like feel if like half of what this did like actually happened to her, like, or even close to it, it makes you like even feel, you're like, oh, sure, she had all of this by the time she was like 17, she was rich, she was famous. But then you just sort of see the pitfalls of what that can do to someone. And I just hope that it was probably even worse than what's depicted in this, but I just hope that some of it wasn't as bad.
This movie is disrespectful to Britney's mental health. It does her wrong.
That's actually just like the perfect word for it, is that it was disrespectful, because it just doesn't give her any agency. It doesn't give her any drive, except again, like the things that happened to her. It's like, oh, we're going to see her with this guy for a little while. That doesn't work out. Oh, now we're going to go see her with this guy for a while. That doesn't work out.
I mean, I'm all for, like, ladies that just want to go out and enjoy as many men as they want. Like I feel that. But this movie just made it seem like Britney was just trolling. And the only thing that could make her satisfied in life was having a man. And it just, I don't know, it took away from the fact that, like, she is this powerful woman that created this empire, and it's just making us seem that, like, the only motivation truly in her life is these men, you know, from Justin Timberlake to her, like, 55, like, what, hour wedding to the guy from back in Louisiana to Kevin Federline. I just was like, oh, God, please give us more than just these men in her life. Like, let me see the rise and fall of Britney as Britney. Like, everything was pretty much in the, you know, the construct of these relationships that she's had.
You know, the thing that, like, truly bothered me and took me out of my typical watching a bad movie fun experience is they left out such a crucial part of the, like, the Britney arc, which is she was from a very young age painted as, like, this all-American, virginal, good girl, and who was sexualized from a kid despite her branding, and then was demonized when she became an adult and started doing things that are appropriate for her age, starting to smoke and drink and party and hook up with dudes. And, like, because people had put that label on her, then, I mean, and that's something that this movie really gets wrong, in my opinion, because they show, like, you know, her parents get divorced and she and Justin break up, which I love that it's only Justin and Kevin. They never say the last names. And then she, like, rebels and goes to Vegas. And it's like, sure, that may have been part of it. But also, like, I felt like it was such a weird miss of the mark to leave out how the media has, like, painted her throughout her whole life and, like, how that can fuck you up.
Right, because especially since they didn't have a lot of her to go on, just because it was on unauthorized, you would think that them taking the angle of, like, how the media has, like, really messed with this woman would have... Even if you can't, then it could be, like, anybody. It could just be, like, these archetypes and, like, this version of Britney, because it's, like, it's more of an indictment on the media, except they didn't do that. They just were like, oh, well, she just kind of went crazy. That's weird.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah,
oh, cool.
Wonder what happened.
Yeah, and, like, let's not go to, it was as if TMZ wrote and made this movie, because it was, like, every moment of, like, okay, like, the Britney and Justin-ness, like, let's hit on all of that, let's hit on, like, because it was, like, all the relationships and the moments, like, it was very, like, tertiary in the fact of, like, okay, this moment happened to her, and we know about it because, like, we saw it because they were always recording her. There are so many moments of just, like, them getting her, like, because of TMZ. And it was like, let's then figure out, like, why she did this. But then let's try to make it as, like, insane as possible. And you're just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, in a way, it does the thing it claims to criticize, where she's even talking to the camera at one point, and she's like, the media loves to just, you know, pick on me and talk about, you know, whatever's a good story, and they don't even care if I am hurting. And the story, the movie itself is predatory,
yes.
And the movie itself is only including those juicy details. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a lot of the first time I really had that feeling was watching The Neon Demon, which I have not watched again. And it's a beautiful movie, but it very much is about, like, the vapidness of being a model and how the industry can eat you alive with, like, bloody metaphors. But it's so critical of the modeling industry and objectifying women. But at every single turn, all it does is show titties.
Of course. Ugh. Yeah, so, like, with this, like, they're focusing on all the, like, TMZ aspect of Britney, whereas, like, I would love an authorized version of Britney Spears' life, maybe like in 10, 15, 20 years from now, where she's like, I'm ready to sit down and actually tell you my life, and we put everything, you know, in order, I think it could be really interesting. I feel like her life is interesting beyond, you know, the tabloids.
Okay, so first of all, from the very beginning, I appreciated that just right off the bat, the first shot of Britney's dad is him being a villain. He's a villain through the whole thing until the end. And that's a part where watching this again post Free Britney, I was like, oh, this did not age well, because, you know, throughout the whole movie, he's this drunk. And, you know, there's also a separate thing to be said about equating being an alcoholic with being abusive and evil. But on top of that, like, yeah, he sucks. And at the end, when she gets her conservatorship, it's like, they're just like, yeah, we just want to help you, Britney. And she's like, oh, okay. And it's like, no, that's not how that shit went down. You're not going to be in it for just a little bit. Like, it's weird that by the end of the movie, after the dad sobers up, that he is, like, redeemed and is good, because that's not the shit that I heard.
Well, no, you hear about that stuff about how he has, like, taken over her estate, basically, and, like, how he, I mean, I think to this day, he still has conservatorship over her, like, all of her stuff.
So I looked it up because after I watched this movie, it made me miss the real Britney so much. So I actually, like, went and did a deep dive on everything and checked out the Free Britney subreddit and, like, all of that shit. And I learned, so the last piece of news that I remember was about a month or so ago, Jamie Lynn, her younger sister, was going to take over her estate. And as of, I think, a week ago, Jamie Lynn has rescinded that and decided not to manage Britney's estate. I don't know what the reasons are, but now it's just kind of up in the air, I guess. And so that's something that they're going to try to figure out. But stay strong, Brit. This, like, it's such a, I mean, I really do wish that this movie had spent a little more time on the predatory nature of being surrounded by people when you're famous. Like, and they kind of get to that at the end with that fucking dude who, like, has 2 minutes of screen time, who just, like, hangs around her.
Oh, yeah, her, like, new manager, and he's just terrible.
Yeah, they, like, allude to it, but I really think, I mean, this movie is so all over the place in terms of how they portray Brit. Like, at post her meltdown or whatever, when she's like, when she's going crazy or whatever, and she goes to that, like, photo shoot, and then she's a diva all of a sudden. She's like, don't touch me, my friend's gonna do my makeup. It's, oh my God, such a weirdly, yeah, paced scene. The fucking, like, friend that's clearly, like, just a, you know, like, a yes man or whatever is like, yeah, there's like a moment where she comes in and the photographer is like, hey, does that dog need to go out? And she's like, oh, he's gone out. It's so weird. And then
it takes a massive poop. And
just
then
the,
like,
fakest looking just shit too. Like,
a piece, yeah, so of, oh, bizarre.
So the comedy
and
beats.
Yeah, that friend was just ridiculous. The friend was just like the person that, like, held her dog. I mean, I want to be paid to be the person that just, like, holds Britney's dog.
Yes, please.
But
yeah,
it was like that girl was, like, not in it before. Just pops up randomly, like, in that scene. And I'm pretty sure it's, like, never seen again. So I'm like, what was the purpose of that person to be there? I was just like, we know nothing about her. She's just kind of there.
It's such a bizarre, and you know what? I think that, like, besides all of the really meta stuff that we've been talking about, the most offensive part of this movie to me is the joke beats. When they have, like, fun jokes, or they try to, like that moment with the dog, or, like, any moment with the sort of, like, momager or her aunt when she's, like, snoring and they're like, ee hee hee, like, the jokes are easily the worst part of this movie for me.
Oh yeah, no, they're horrendous.
And I'm like, was there a, like, it never felt like, yeah, because those jokes can, like, take you out of it, that I'm just like, is there a need to have them even, like, remotely in there? Like, I was just like, there's no. But also in that scene where, yeah, you see her first diva, like, mentality at all throughout any of
also
this.
Also just wiping barbecue sauce all over, yeah, her dress.
That was my favorite. She just was like, yeah, I'm going to put this here. And then she, like, walks out, and I would, like, the photographer was like, and she just walked out with, like, $10,000 of couture.
Okay, oh, my God. So now what? I wrote that line down because that exchange is so fucking cringy to me. She just walked out here in $10,000 worth of bar couture. And the other guy goes, oy vey.
Yeah. Oy vey. And I was like, what is going... There were some ridiculous lines in this, like... One of my favorite was, like, when you first see her, like, all up on K-Fed, and you're like, okay, so this is clearly a very sexual relationship, which is, like, fine. But then you have, like, yeah, the assistant who, like, looks at a random guy and says, did you hear that his nickname is Meatpole? And I'm like, okay, so K-Fed be packing, I guess. Okay.
By the way, I felt the least offended by the portrayal of K-Fed because nobody gives a shit about Kevin Federline. Like, yes, it is nobody. Truly, he could have been doing whatever he wanted, that actor, and everyone would be like, good, fine. No one is precious about the depiction of this piece of shit.
Yeah, that's what, it always baffles me that, like, I've always felt that, like, Britney was... the kind of person that, like, I think there was the truth in the line where she's like, I don't want somebody to love Britney Spears. I want somebody to love Britney Jean. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true. I think she's always sort of strived to find somebody who could truly love her for her. And it's wild to me that she thought that Kevin Federline would be that person.
Dude, and this guy, I'm going to say also with the preface of saying, in this movie, he is a very bad actor. May have improved, may have... You know, maybe this was the first thing that he did. I believe in growth as an artist. This movie, he's such a bad actor in it. And the fight that they have in the club is the cringiest thing after she finds out that he's cheating on her. And then she sends him a text, which is not a single person I've ever seen in the entire... I've lived my whole life on instant messaging. I've never seen a single person type out... I want WNT, the number 2, divorce, DVRCE, and then the letter U, period. I want to divorce you. No one ever typed like that. Who wrote this movie?
And a woman wrote this movie. That makes me, like, this movie was written and directed by women, and it makes me even more mad.
That hurts a little bit.
Well, no, but you do... It's so frustrating. But you also, again, like, stuff with, like, producers and, like, executives, I think, you know, they probably were like, oh, if we get women to, like, direct and write this, and, like, you know, it's about a woman,
it's gonna be good.
No. It's gonna be great. But also, too, like, then they're just like, you know, there's so many times that execs, and, like, we hear these in movies all the time about how they, like, meddle and don't, like, really, like, understand what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And that's what it seemed like this whole movie was, is, like, it didn't know what it wanted to do. It wanted to be sensational, and then it didn't even really do that. It just kind of falls flat.
It's so, and even down to, like, the smaller details, like, the fact that every single one of her concerts is done on the same tiny, shitty soundstage, mm-hmm. where it doesn't matter if it's the fucking VMAs or her first concert or her Vegas residency, it's just that little tiny box. And it's like, yeah. How could you possibly think that you could tell the story of Britney Spears accurately if not even having, like, that detail sorted?
Right. Well, and then I was looking at it, I was reading about this after I watched it, and they were saying things like, oh, like, there were so many inaccuracies in the movie, just, like, coming down to, like, outfits that she wore, like, famous outfits. Like, you know, there's that famous one of her and Justin when, like, they wore, like, the denim. And, like, in this, it's, like, a weird pantsuit that she's wearing, even though, like, in real life it was, like, a long dress.
They tried something.
Yeah.
I appreciate that they made a nod to that, which, by the way, let's talk a little bit about Justin. I think that he wasn't bad. I think that his lines are some of the worst lines that anybody gets in this movie. I'm about to rob you of your heart. And also, my favorite line, I think, of his, okay, there's two more that I have written down. One is after... or, like, right before she has her break, when he comes and visits, and he tells the aunt, tell her to break everything. She'll know what that means. We never get any more information on that. That's just left alone forever. But my favorite Justin moment is at the very beginning, after Justin becomes friends with Brittany, and like he for some reason hangs out with her family at the diner instead of like with his band. It's very confusing. And then NSYNC throws her a surprise party, which, by the way, they could have gotten the real Chris Kirkpatrick. They could have gotten JC. What's he up to? They could have gotten him. But I love when they're singing Happy Birthday. I don't know if you guys remember this. They go, Happy Birthday, dear Brittany. And then Justin chimes in and he goes, You're 1 year older, girl.
Oh, so, yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, does he not know what birthdays are? Yeah. Does he think that she doesn't know?
I think he needed to explain it to her. You know, he was just like, listen, I don't know.
Just so you know, this is how the passage of time works.
And then he was building, like, sandcastles with Jamie Lynn, and he, like, I forget what his line was, but I just remember it being, like, it was about building moats, and being, like,
oh, yeah.
I was just, like, what, like, how is he speaking? Like, Justin Timberlake, like, never sounded like this. Like, the one thing is, like, I felt like Justin Timberlake has a very interesting voice. He's, like, very soft-spoken, and I felt like this actor did, like, a really good job in sort of, like, speaking like Justin Timberlake and the way he sounds, but the way they were just depicting like late 90s, early 2000s, Justin was just like, oh my God. It's and did his hair choice. Really look that bad? Because when I was that young, I was like in love with him and his
curls.
Oh,
he had those
now
frosted
like,
tits.
Were they that bad?
It's pretty bad.
What is wrong with my like 10-year-old self? She should be like, oh God, no.
My favorite moment of the entire movie is a Brittany and Justin moment. And I forgot about it upon rewatching it. I was just as shook when it happened again when I watched it last night. And it is the dance off in the club.
Oh, thank God. You were going to say
after
that.
They
like,
break
it has
up. Dude, it goes on. First of all, it goes on for longer than any other scene in the movie. I don't know if it actually does or if it just feels
it just
that
probably
way.
Feels like that. Yeah.
But it's for those of you who have not seen this movie, Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake have just broken up. Brit goes out with her friend to like go to the club and party. And Justin shows up with a girl, some like backup dancer. And she's like, I got to talk to you. And he's like, get over it. I'm over you. And then they have a full fucking dance off, which includes no dancing. There's no dancing involved. They just stand and do different poses. And like she whips her hair around sometimes and that's it. And it's very
intense. It felt like half of the movie for sure.
And what gets me too is that if there's ever like a movie to be made about Britney, like the casting is going to have to be meticulous, because there's one thing people can say whatever they want about Britney. They can be like, oh, she lip syncs. She doesn't have the best voice, whatever. Like that girl can dance. And the fact is that like this girl could not dance. And like, it's not even like you could not dance. It's like, there's like dancing and then there's like Britney level of dancing. Her the level of dancing is incredible. So yeah, you just get this scene where it's supposed to be this dance off between like Justin Timberlake, also another person that could dance really well, and, you know, Britney Spears, and it just falls so flat. And you're like, why even have a scene like this if you're not going to have competent dancers to do that scene?
At least get some fucking stand-ins in.
Yeah, and just like, put their faces in.
At least I'm like, all right, there's some dancing going on here. But even being like, I'm over you, I love that. It's like, I'm over you, Britney. It's like, okay, you're over her, yet like your entire like first debut album, it's like number one single, was like an attack on how she like cheated on you. And, you know, you had like a Britney stand-in for the music video. I'm like, dude, you're probably still not over her.
I wouldn't be.
Like, because there was because I went down the you know, the hole of like, let me look up all Britney and Justin stuff. I remember how cute they used to be. And there was, and this is actually hysterical, in 2017, I think it was, he was doing press with Anna Kendrick for the Trolls movie, the first Trolls movie. And the person was like interviewing them. And then there's a moment in this movie where they call each other like Pinky and Stinky. They like came out and told people those were their like pet names for each other.
Yeah.
So that was real.
I want everyone to know you're my Stinky.
Oh. Well, the woman in the interview, like he seems like very animated and like very cool and chill. She mentions the word Pinky just like in context, talking about Anna Kendrick's character, because her like little troll is pink. And his like face like, goes, like, he just, like, it is so creepy to see him, like, shut down. And he looks like, you could Google it. And it's weird because, like, normally I'd be like, oh, that's BS. I looked and he, like, completely shuts down, like, when she says pinky. And I'm like, is he just thinking, like, oh, yeah, back to, like, my days with Brittany and I'm sad.
You never forget your first love.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they say.
Yeah, it's so true. And I was just like, oh. And when your first love is, like, the biggest pop star in the world, you're probably going to, even if you're, like, with, you know, Jessica Biel now, you're probably still like, oh, there was a time where I was in, like, a intense relationship with Britney Spears.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of adjacent videos, have you guys seen the Britney Stoned video?
Yeah, the one that Kevin
Did? The one with Kevin Federline is recording her, and she's absolutely stoned out of her gourd.
Yeah.
Some snacks, and it's the most charming, funny, like, that's, I watched that right after I watched this movie, because I was just like, man, first of all, I have a problem with lots of actors when they act high and when they act drunk, like, the dad does the most, and it can be really cringy to see actors sometimes do, like, overacting when they're on substances. And I watched this video, and she just, like, truly has a magic about her. Like, she just, even when she's just, like, high and eating snacks and being dumb, like, she's just a magical human. She's so charming and just so, like, ethereal and funny, and I love her so much. I just, like, I feel like, what's this girl's name? Natasha Bassett. Like, I hope she doesn't give herself too hard of a time, but damn, girl, like, you didn't do it. Also, makeup team, thin out her eyebrows. Like, she has these fucking 2014 Instagram modern eyebrows, and they needed to pluck those bitches, because if they had done that, that changes an entire face up. I'm sorry, but if they had just, like, shaved her eyebrows off, ideally, and drawn them back on pencil thin, she would have, like, so much looked more like Britney.
Well, yeah, that was such an early 2000s look. It was that, like, super thin. Yeah. And, like, those, like, you know, and, like, the baby lip glosses. She did. She did just look like someone from, like, 2015 who just, you know,
was, like, kind of looked like Britney
a little. Yeah.
Which is also interesting, is I feel like some of these Lifetime biopics is they get people that relatively actually look like the real person. Like, I remember the girl that they got to play Jenny Garth in, like, the 90210 one, like, literally looks just like Jenny Garth. And I'm like, oh, shit. This girl in no way, I look more like Britney Spears, and I in no way look like Britney Spears. Like, this girl just did not look like Britney at all. So, like, that kind of takes me out of it, too. Like, you know, I was just like, okay, you don't look like Britney. It's not a knock at this girl. She's very pretty. It's just, there's a difference, like, between you being, like, be casting Margot Robbie, who's, like, the prettiest person in the world as Britney Spears. You sure, you're pretty, you just still don't look like Britney.
Yeah, although Margot Robbie, I have seen, I mean, we're talking very different makeup budgets, but she has transformed herself into, like, ways that don't even look like her. I love Margot Robbie so much.
Oh, yeah. She's great in, like, I, Tonya. Yeah, for sure. You just can completely, and that's it's just a testament to her and how good she is. But
oh, speaking of the makeup, one thing that I wrote down that really bothered me, that, like, okay, like, further on, they finally get into the, like, messy eyeliner Britney look. But something that they left out the entire time, where was all the silver eyeshadow? This bitch was covered in silver eyeshadow. All of my memories of her, all of the photos that I was looking at last night, always, like, a steel silver lid at the least. And I didn't see it even once in this movie.
Yeah, it's like they didn't do their due diligence on Britney.
They did her dirty, dude.
Yeah, oh, I'm really just looking at some of the pictures. Oh, my God. And, yeah, even just, I don't know. I'm just looking at some of these pictures and, like, the fashion that they tried. It was like, yeah, it was like they tried to get close to the 2000s fashion, but somehow, like, took a wrong turn and failed miserably.
No, it's like they went to, like, a Charlotte Russe, but, like, a Charlotte Russe today, as opposed to, like, the 90s. So, like, They're just still just wearing like skinny jeans and like t-shirts, but it's not specific to the 2000s.
I'm like looking at the NSYNC photo and like, holy shit, whoever they got to look like Lance Bass, like, oh my God, no. And then the person that I'm like 90% sure that this kid is supposed to be, JC, and JC is like tall. This kid they cast is shorter than everybody by like a foot in this photo. And I'm
get
like,
him some platforms.
I was just like, what on. Is this? It's like, I'm like, pretty sure JC is not short. So I'm like, okay. Yeah.
I saw, I unexpectedly saw Lance Bass in something that I has been a big quarantine watch for me, which is Vanderpump Rules. Oh. I finally had the time, I guess, to deep dive into some of the trash TV that my friends love. And holy shit, by the way, if you guys are reality TV fans or even just fans of trash, I have a feeling you are because of this podcast, you can't do much better than Vanderpump.
Okay.
It's a spinoff of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and Lisa Vanderpump has a restaurant in Beverly Hills called SUR, which stands for Sexy Unique Restaurant. And it's just about, it's like a 9 years in the making show. So it's interesting because the cast is like people who work there. And at first they're just like young, dumb, and broke. And then influencer culture starts to happen and you can see them start to like make real money and buy cars and houses and shit. It's a very, very good watch. Yeah. And Lance Bass is on it occasionally.
Is he just, like, as, like, someone who, like, goes to the restaurant, or
Yes and no. He's there as Lisa Vanderpump's friend, because I guess they're close friends.
Yeah, he's, my roommate, I live in West Hollywood, and my roommate is very into gay culture, and I'm just like, okay. So he goes to, like, all the new places, he has to be there, and he, like, called me, and he's like, oh my God, Lance Bass is here. And I was like, oh, that's, like, really cool. And he's like, I'm gonna go up to him. So he, like, went up to him, and he's like, oh, this is, like, and he's just dancing there with like his fellow gay men having a good time, and like my roommate comes up to him and he's like, so like it must be cool that you like come here and nobody bothers you. And he looked my friend dead in the eye and said, up until now.
Oh, what a friend. He did so kind of walk pissed. Into that one.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
He's like, I didn't even know what to do. He's like, so now he like fucking hates Lance Bass. And he sees him all the time. He apparently goes to Rocco's in West Hollywood like all the time. Because apparently before the pandemic, like of course everybody knows the Abbey is like the big one, but apparently everybody started like migrating down to Rocco's and that became like the cool hip place. And that's where like Lance Bass would be all the time.
Wow.
That is some good tea.
Of course.
Stuff.
I love that. But I give him credit that he's like at least like willing to be like a man of the people. Like he's willing to like go out and dance and like have a good time. I'm pretty sure him and his husband go out. And I'm just like, you got to give him credit for that because like you're not going to see. Yeah. Obviously, there's a difference between Justin Timberlake level of fame and Lance Bass level of fame. But still, like to be able to be like, yeah, I'm just going to go out and dance and have a good time.
Be active in your community. We love to see it.
Oh, I wanted to talk about one part that I found hysterical. It was like right around the time that Brittany and Justin, a lot of this movie was really focused on Brittany and Justin. This should have just been a movie about Brittany and Justin. It might have been more interesting. But there was, they allude to the infamous VMA Madonna kiss between her, Madonna, and Christina Aguilera. But of course, they don't show it because, you know, why would Lifetime do that? You see her walking down to like the backstage and her mom's there. And of course, I love her. Her mom is like, yes, this was so cool. Like, this is going to be edgy, you know? And like, this is going to like, I felt like they thought that this kiss was going to, and it did. It really did stir up, like, it got people talking. But like, Britney's motivation wasn't like, I want to like stir up people. It was like, did Justin see? I was like, her first question, and I love her guy, like, I love her manager was like, yeah, he has a new girlfriend. Like, at this point, he has moved on. And she's like, yeah, but she's so old. And his response was, yeah, well, she also happens to be Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
It's a line. It was, like, my favorite line. Yeah, well, she happens to be Cameron Diaz. Like,
dude, speaking of edgy Britney moments, that like kind of fake out moment where they get their house robbed and there's a tape, which I actually did not know if there's a Saucy Britney video, and I'm not gonna look it up. It never came out
it never came out. It could be there. Yeah, it was never talked about because, like, that line got me. I was like, wait, was there a Britney sex tape? I'm like, I feel like even if you haven't wanted to Google it, you would at least would have heard about it. And I was like, I never heard about that.
Loved the line that the dad says. What is it? My little girl's in a boudoir video. He calls it a boudoir, which is so weird.
Yeah, and then Justin just standing there awkwardly being like, like, yeah. He's like, they found the tape. Which tape? That tape. And then they were like, oh, don't worry, some kids down the street found a bunch of tapes. Isn't that how it was, like, remedied?
Yeah, they were like, oh, yeah, the police got them just a couple blocks away. It's all fine. Like, could have just not been a scene in the movie.
Right.
It was just there to be like, oh, maybe Britney and Justin made a sex tape. Oh, my God. Like, and imagine if that came out because they were supposed to be saved. That was also weird. The culture of celebrities and, like, the whole saving ourselves for marriage. Like, it was really big with, like, you know, the Jonas Brothers until they all blew it. But, like, you know, it was so interesting that, like, in the 2000s, yeah, you sort of had that, like, innocence and the, like, I was always like, why are we so focused on their sex lives? To me, it's always creepy. I'm like, I literally don't care. They're 18. They were both hot. What the hell do you think they were doing? Like
why
on.
Wouldn't they be? Yeah.
Like,
dude,
what do you
it
think?
Reminds me of, it actually, I had a little nice feeling last night after watching this, thinking about how far we've come as a culture, because, you know, I guess a good modern example would be Billie Eilish, who purposefully covers her body in baggy clothes to avoid being sexualized and avoid creepy comments about her body. And it's crazy to me that that is still a thing, but it is really interesting to see the agency that young women have now, where they can call people out and say, like, that's fucking creepy that you would, like, comment or, like, ask me if I've had sex. And, like, poor Britney. I was watching, there's a really great, if not kind of, like, cheesily edited deep dive on the Britney Spears arc, and it's called Deep Dive. The video is called Uncovering Britney Spears' Dark Past, #FreeBritney. It's just a part one, but there's so many interview clips in it about, like, people commenting on her body, when she's going to be legal, just, like, really disgusting shit, while also putting this impossible standard of remaining virginal and remaining wholesome and not dressing too sexy. And, like, it's an impossible place to be for a young woman. And I'm just so happy to see, even if it's only marginally better, to see that growth with Billie Eilish, for example.
Right. Well, that's the thing. They did that. It was mostly done to Britney, but, like, there was that whole thing too with, like, Jessica Simpson. Like, they kind of lumped her in the same thing, you know, where she, like, waited for marriage.
Yeah. At least with Jessica Simpson, I felt like she was very, I felt like that was more her being like, I want to wait for marriage. And I think it was the pressure of, like, having a overly religious father and all that. And then, of course, she marries Nick Lachey and it goes to shit. And then she just has babies out of wedlock, like, with another guy. So it's just, like, it's interesting. But I always felt like the whole Jessica Simpson was more, like, her taking a hold of the idea of being a virgin versus, like, people putting that virgin label on to Britney, which I felt like wasn't fair. But I don't know. I don't know enough about Jessica Simpson. I do enjoy, you want to talk about trashy television. Man, Newlyweds is a treasure.
Oh, I gotta revisit Newlyweds. I fucking loved Jessica Simpson's edible body lotion line that she had back in the early aughts. It was,
I remember that. Oh my God. Yeah.
Tasty, like, body glitter that tasted like marshmallows. I thought I was the sexiest woman in the seventh grade.
Using that?
Just licking my
you
arm.
You were.
For a snack.
It's like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, but they even did it with, like, Mandy Moore, too. And they really tried to, like, Mandy Moore's come out and said that they tried to make her something that she was completely not. She, like, hates to go back and to, like, listen to Candy and, yeah.
Dude, that music, have you guys revisited that music video for Candy?
Yeah, it's
so gross. I haven't seen it. Knowing that she's, I think, 14.
She can't even like legally drive, and she because they have her like driving a mini, like a little bug in that movie, and they had to like pull it on a string because she like wasn't even able to like legally drive then.
Oh my god.
She's just like so overtly sexualized. Yeah. And I remember watching it as a kid and being like, this is so cool. Like, I'm not saying that it like fucked me up in any way or made me a big ol' slut. That was my own decision.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I do like now seeing it as an adult feel so uncomfortable seeing a teen, like a child, yeah, really dance like that and is like so, just so sexualized. Yeah. I don't like it.
No.
I love that song still though. It's great.
Yeah. No, yeah, of course. They tried to, they tried to make every, like, pop star subsequently after Britney to be Britney. It was like, mm-hmm, oh, Mandy, like, let's make Mandy Moore like Britney. Like, I like that Christina Aguilera took, like, the dirty sexy and was like, I'm going to be, like, dirty sexy. And I'm gonna be, like, Xtina. So, like, I feel like Britney, like she took it and did it and made it her own. Whereas, like, Britney sort of was, like, fell into, like, the pitfalls of, you know, and like you said, there is like the whole like aspect of like, oh, if you dress like this, like men are gonna like you. But like, who are you trying to attract? Are you trying to attract 45-year-old men that like live in their mom's basement and have a countdown about when she turns 18? You know, you should be trying to attract like 12-year-old girls that want to like be like Britney. You know, like that's why I think Taylor Swift is done really well in the fact that like she's gotten 12-year-old girls to be like obsessed with her and want to be her. You know?
I mean, the bottom line is we're seeing people who either have or don't have control over their own image.
True.
And when we see that, like, it can be from like the most virginal to the most pornographic, and any of them are appropriate and good as long as it's the woman herself that is controlling it. That's why Xtina works so well.
Yeah.
That's why we don't worry about like Jessica Simpson, like you were saying. It's because there's a vibe of them having real input over the way they were perceived.
True. Yeah. And like you said, the whole Billie Eilish, I love that she's like, because like she's talked and she's like, I feel like awkward about my body too. She's like, I had big boobs. And she's like, the first thing I know is if I showed my big boobs off, I'd be getting all this attention that I don't want, you know? Mm-hmm. So she's like, yeah, I sort of like take away from that and I let like my music speak for itself rather than, you know, and she has an image, like that image works for her. Like the sort of like tomboy-ish image. It works in a way for her that like it would never have worked for like a Britney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully that's a sign of growth, I think.
Well, just like trusting these artists to actually have an image that is actually indicative of them, for sure.
Yeah, and like who they are. Like, I feel like any interview I've seen with Billie Eilish, like she seems very much herself. Like she's weirdly vulgar, which I kind of love, though. She's like, yeah, this is how I talk. Like I say fuck all the time. Like, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Whereas like, you know, you're a 17-year-old pop star, you're like, oh, like imagine if Britney was like in her first interview was like just being like, oh, fuck this, fuck that. Like we would be like, what? But where Billie Eilish does it, you're just like, oh cool, this is her.
We are slightly less puritanical these days, mm-hmm, but I love Billie Eilish. I love the videos that she does with Vogue that are like she does an interview and then watches. She does them like a year space, but apart. They're so, so good. And it's so cool to see her just be a teen and be herself.
Yeah, which is great. You know, while you have all these eyes on you, sure, but like don't change yourself for, you know, like I say, 45-year-old men in their mother's basements. Like, no, mm-hmm, no.
Well, you know, it's because like 45-year-old men who have become successful, I guess, are the ones like kind of brandishing the image, you know?
Yeah.
Or like, I mean, the ones
I just feel bad for anybody in like the late 90s, early 2000s, like just women, young girls in general. Like, I remember there was a countdown to, you know, when the Olsen twins were going to be legal. And I was like, oh, cool. Yeah. So you think you have a chance of having sex with them? Ha, that's funny. Like what is the point in this? That you can now finally be like, oh, they're hot? Like, no, that's still creepy, dude. Like,
it's so gross. It's such a disgusting joke. And I feel like we're not really rid of that yet. But at least I hope that no one ever gets fucked up and done dirty the way Britt did, man.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like,
for sure.
And still continues to be.
Yeah, no, 100%. She, you know, one of a guy that I went to grad school with, he's like Britney's like number one fan. He's like seen her multiple times. He just like is a number one fan, and he's always like, nobody has been under the microscope the way Britney has. And I was like, it's true. Like,
absolutely.
It's so true. Like, there's a reason you have a breakdown is because, and like, she rose to fame right around the time that TMZ like became a thing. I feel so bad. Like, girl, you have the people that like live and breathe off of TMZ. Like, there'd be no Kardashians without, you know, them being like, here's this sex tape. Like, let's turn this into an empire. And I give Kris Jenner like a ton of credit for creating an empire based off of, you know, a sex tape with a D-list celebrity. But they wouldn't be anything if it weren't for the world of TMZ. And then you have the world of TMZ ruining Britney. You know, I'm sure she would just love to have, you know, no paparazzi, whereas, you know, Kim Kardashian needs the paparazzi.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the movie Popstar? Never Stop, Never Stop.
I have not, but I need to because it's a lonely island.
One of my all-time favorite comedies.
Oh, so
I think that it's a great thing to watch to have as a palate cleanser after this movie, because it does make fun of much of the things that we've been talking about. Justin Timberlake is in it as well, the real one.
That's great.
A really, really fun look at like being a pop star and like being in a band, and it's great. Couldn't say enough good things. It's one of my favorites. It's right up there with like Wet Hot American Summer to me in like all-time favorite comedies. So check it out.
That's really good. It's really good. And especially too, because like it also manages, even while being like one of the funniest movies I've ever seen, it does have like a lot of heart.
Yeah.
Which like this movie had none. No heart.
No.
Zero
absolutely
heart.
Not. I want to ask you guys this, because this was my final thought after I watched this movie, is what do you think the intent of this movie was? Mm-hmm. Because obviously it's predatory. Obviously it's trying to capitalize off of a very tragic story for Britney. But it did leave me feeling more affectionate than ever towards her, feeling like I wanted to do a deep dive of like everything that's going on with her and listen to her music again and just really honestly appreciating her even more. So was that even the aim, or is that just a side effect that I had?
Well, I would definitely say it's probably a side effect, because this was handled so poorly, and I think it did not even... I would say that this movie, like the people who made this movie did not know what they wanted to make. I think it was exactly what you said. They wanted to capitalize on this sensational story, but then they didn't think about like the actual putting of a story together to make you care about someone.
Mm-hmm.
We already have an affinity toward Britney, so we're going to want to just like now re-listen to her music, rewatch interviews, watch that video that Kevin Federline like posted, you know, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
This just, we'll get to it in a second where we like rate the movie, but like, I don't even know that I can, because like this movie just like really blowed. Man.
Yeah.
It blew.
Yeah.
This movie I found to be slightly more entertaining than the one that we just watched with about Elizabeth Taylor. I just felt like that movie was so boring.
Oh, with Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah.
Yes.
I tried to watch that too. It is really boring.
It is. Yeah. So, really boring. I felt that like at least this movie captured my interest. And I don't know if it's just because I'm more familiar with Britney versus like... I'm nearly less familiar with Elizabeth Taylor, because I like grew up with Britney. I didn't grow up with like Elizabeth Taylor and, you know, the relationships that she went through. Whereas like Britney and Justin, like in the 2000s, like I was like, of course, I want to be Britney Spears. She's dating like the cutest guy. Like right now I have my like little marionettes of him and his little friends. Like, you know, you were like sort of invested in, I saw Crossroads, like, you know,
yeah, of course.
I don't know. Is that a reason why I'm more invested in this movie, or I found it to be more entertaining, when it is just, yeah, it is very predatory. It is, you know, it's just like, let's, yeah, like almost like let's pick on Britney. Like I felt like this it was a caricature of her. She was just she just felt like an uneducated buffoon, and I know she's not.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, like, you just brought up Liz and Dick, and the same problems we had with that movie we seem to have kind of come into this as well. You know, we complained about how Liz and Dick was about... It's Elizabeth Taylor is arguably one of the more interesting people in the world. Like, maybe not everyone is super aware of her, but she had a really, like, long, interesting life. But they just decided to, they just decided to study her within the lens of just this one relationship. And so it's still just about her and her thing with one guy and, like, her needing the attention of this guy. And it's kind of the same thing with, like, Brittany. It's like, oh, we just want to know how she's affected by these men in her life. Like, this,
kind of weird how Lifetime, a television for women, only focuses on women as they relate to their relationships with men.
Boo!
Hey. Nicely done, Lifetime.
Well, it's funny. I really think it has something to do with this, like, biopic, like, this sort of genre. Because, like, we've seen a lot of thrillers where they actually... go through the tropes of, like, trashy, you know, smutty thrillers that, like, still, like, give the girls, like, or the women, like, these, like, interesting aspects. Yeah. So there is something about, like, maybe, like, them being tied to a real person kind of, like, weird, like, makes their creativity go away in a weird way. It's just really strange.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, what these actors think when you're like, oh... You book something, you're like, oh, I booked a lead in something. That's so cool. Oh, it's a Lifetime movie about Britney, and you have to, like, do your best to become Britney Spears. Like, what is that? Like, especially if I was, like, this young actor, and I went into this movie, and I was like, okay, I love Britney Spears. Then I go into this movie, and I'm playing Britney Spears, but I'm also knowing that this is a movie that, like, Britney's gonna hate. I would be like, oh, God, like, Britney's gonna hate me.
You
know?
Yeah.
Like, even if she gives this movie,
I wonder if that actress has said anything about it.
Yeah, I didn't see any interviews with her. But yeah,
and what's interesting is I also, like, looked her up, and, like, prior to this movie, like, she's worked with the Coen. She was in Hail Caesar. Like, she's been in, like, some legit things, and you could only hope that, you know, something like this doesn't necessarily, like, derail, like, her career in a way.
But, I honestly don't think it will, because, like, you know, not a lot of people saw this, so I think it'll be fine.
We'll see how that movie that she was in that just came out is. Horror movies, I really never look at IMDb ratings and take them seriously for horror films, because they're, or like, really ever, but especially for horror, because it's a divisive genre, and it's so varying based on, like, people's opinions and tastes. So I will watch it with fresh eyes. I want to give her a chance, and I want to like her as an actress too. So I will, that's my homework for myself.
Yeah. So let's try this out. Like, what we usually, like, rate these movies on a, like, scale of, like, whether something is sweet garbage, regular garbage, or hot garbage. Hot garbage being, like, the worst trash you've ever, like, you're walking down the street and, like, it's a hot day and it's, like, you walk by a dumpster. Like, that's the bad, like, the worst. Sweet garbage, obviously, being, like, the best of the best, like within a good trashy movie.
Yeah.
So where are we putting this on the, on that scale?
I would liken this movie, okay, so if, the way I am interpreting this rating system is bad garbage is the shit that you find in the street, like you said, and sweet garbage to me is like junk food, like something that you know is trash for you. And I would put this movie in the category of junk food that you find in the trash on a hot day, and you decide against your better sensibilities to ingest it, and you enjoy it for a moment and then feel much worse after eating it.
Man, that is poetic. I love that.
I like that. That sums it up perfectly.
You know what? I'm just going to go with that. That was fantastic.
Thank you. I'm a garbage connoisseur.
No, please. Yeah. Well, we're going to have you on the podcast more. Like, that was... I, like, felt such stirrings for garbage. yeah, okay. Well, that's our episode, guys. Thank you, Whitney, for being on the show. Do you have anything that you want to, like, plug or anything coming up for you that.
Yeah, I do. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me so much and for spending time talking about this god-awful movie with me. People can find me at Whitney S. Moore on Instagram. I usually have my updates there. I also have a newsletter that I have started back in July, and it's so much fun. Every week I send out music recommendations, comic recommendations, art Instagram accounts that I like, and it's just sort of a place where I can list like where you can find me that week. So there's a link to sign up there. I also, 4 days a week, I am interviewing bands over at Tower Records, who relaunched this year. They were meant to relaunch at South by Southwest, but obviously because of the pandemic, that didn't happen. So I've been interviewing really cool bands over at their Instagram account, Official Tower Records, almost every weekday. And that's super fun. And I'm also shooting a short that I wrote this weekend in Palm Springs.
That's
so
exciting.
I'm really excited. It is a queer movie, and I'm so, so thrilled that I get to make it. So I guess just keep an eye out for ways that you can see it.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me. This was so fun.
Yeah, great. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Sweet, sweet garbage, baby. Sweet.